I'm going to preach despite of that. I don't know what it is. I just know the Lord's just real heavy right now on me. So y'all mind the Lord, okay? I mean, I'll just ask you to mind the Lord. I don't... I don't pretend to know everything. Okay. Yes. 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 Amen. Whew. Amen. The title of this message is The Seventh Man. The seventh man. I've preached out of John chapter 4 probably more times than I can count. And you probably got it on your book or on your calendar that I preached it. You might want to just make another note there. He preached it again. And you can even tell me and I'll tell you the same thing. It's really not about when or how or what you preach. It's about God being in it. And if God's in it, then it won't matter. He's going to work to the vehicle that He chooses. I don't choose, I'll be honest with you, I don't choose the messages, God does. John chapter 4, verse 4, said, as He must needs go through Samaria, He must needs go through here today. Jesus is going to come through here today. And what He's trying to do is He's trying to reach somebody. Yeah, somebody. Or somebody's, but most likely somebody. And your life is going to intersect Jesus' life today, and He sees you different than everybody else sees you. He probably sees you different than you see yourself sometimes. Because see, Jesus sees who He made and who He designed you to be. He doesn't see what you're doing. He sees what you can be doing. And I'm glad of that, aren't you? See, Jesus is passing through Samaria and He's got His mind on the Samaritan people, but He's got His mind on one girl, one lady, who's going to change Samaria for a long, long time. Sometimes Jesus just wants to save one where He can save a multitude. Samaria's on His heart, but He's not staying in Samaria. Golly. The world's on Jesus' heart, but He wasn't staying in the world. Amen? He left us here to do the work of God. We're the hands and feet of Christ. So He travels and intersects people's lives. Just like today, this message is going to intersect your life. There's going to be parts of this message you're going to be like, man, that's great. Then there's going to be parts of it that's going to bring you to conviction. And hopefully brings you to salvation. Maybe you've already been saved. Maybe you're like the disciples. And maybe we'll look at that. Verse 5, then coming to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, appear near a parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with His journey, sat thus on the well. It was about the sixth hour. It always amazes me that Jesus was wearied. Jesus got tired. You know, Jesus went through every possible thing that you've been through. Everything that you've ever been through, God went through it. Every way that you can possibly be tempted, Christ was tempted. I'm glad I have a Savior that when I say, God, I'm tired, He goes, I know exactly what you mean. God, I'm aggravated. I know exactly what you mean. God, I'm frustrated. I know exactly what you mean. God, my heart's broken. Oh, I know exactly what you mean. I know exactly what you mean. Somebody come pray with her, please. Somebody, musician, don't mind, come just play a little bit. Anybody's got a... Yes, Jesus. We thank you. We pray right now for Amanda. We pray for her brother. We pray for her niece. Lord, we just pray right now. God, what a good service this would be. We just put our hearts and our lives up to you. Jesus, I pray for Amanda, Lord. I pray for her knees. Jesus. Ain't that amazing? Here is Jesus, wearied by his travels, sits down on a well. Perfect timing. A lady comes out of the town of Samaria and sits down, comes and wants to draw water, and Jesus says, "Give me to drink." It's amazing that Jesus didn't attack her or tell her how wrong she was. One of the first things he does is he builds a rapport with her. Some of y'all are sitting in this church this morning and God's building a rapport with you. He's conversing with you. He's letting you worship Him. He's letting you work out who He is in your life. I love verse 8. "For His disciples were going away into the city to buy meat." Now I know I've just preached this recently and God put it on my heart to say that He sent all 12 disciples to go get lunch. And I thought, well, God just moves them out of the way to do. But I've got another thought today different than that. It's still on the same premise. But none of the disciples at this point had been broken yet. They hadn't done something to fail Jesus on a level that everybody knew that they had messed up. And that's hard to overcome. And somebody's coming that has failed Jesus multiple times. And he knew if he wasn't careful enough to move his disciples, they might look and judge too quickly. I want you to hear this. Sometimes Jesus wants you to think about some of the things you'll say or do, not because of who you are, but because of who they are. See, let me break it down just a little bit further for you. There's some people in this church, if they get hurt, if their heart gets broken, they're not going to go to another church. They're going to go back out to the world. My heart is we offer a church that you can come to no matter where you stand with God, that you'll find Him here, that we won't say something or we won't do something to hurt you that you don't see Jesus. Ain't that neat how God, all 12 disciples, none of them had failed yet. None of them had denied or doubted or ran from the garden scene yet. None of them had the sitting in the boat all night knowing they had failed their Savior. Amen? They hadn't had that yet. So they might quick to say, who's this lady? You don't need to be here. You don't need to talk to Jesus. She might have turned around and walked right back to her house and said, you know what? There's no reason. This is the reason I come at the sixth hour in the middle of the day to draw water because I don't want to put up with people. Can I ask you this? Have you ever got somewhere in your life where you started doing stuff at weird hours because you just didn't want to deal with people anymore? You just don't want to go. You don't want to go shopping. You don't want to go to the store. And you don't want to go into the community at certain hours because you know what? You're just sick and tired of the looks. You're just sick and tired of the attitude. You're just sick and tired of everybody telling you what they would do in your situation, and they wouldn't know what to do in your situation if they had your situation. If God had, God, I'm preaching, if God had set your situation in their lap, they would collapse. They would collapse under the pressure. They would quit. They'd be like, I'm done. But praise God, God has somehow stacked it and placed it in your life, not to break you, but to make you. Not to destroy you, but to ultimately bring you to Him. I love this story. This woman walks to the desert, toting an old water pot, coming to get water, and Jesus clears the area for just her and Jesus. Listen, you're sitting in a room full of people this morning, but it's just you and Jesus. Some of you already know it. Some of you have already felt it. Man, he's talking to me. How did he know? I didn't. God does. Then Jesus saith unto the woman of Samaria, how is it thou, a Jew, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, you might want to underline that or highlight that. Jesus always refers to salvation as a gift. And who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee the living water. You know, Jesus always refers to salvation as a gift, never a reward. It's always free. And this is the point I want y'all to get. Salvation always comes when you would never deliver a gift. Or when you would never even think about receiving the gift. See, salvation comes when you're a failure. When you admit that you're a sinner. When you admit that you failed God in every way possible and there is no way for you to get into heaven whatsoever, God says now, that's when you need a gift. That's when you receive the gift. That's when the gift of God shows up, when you are completely helpless in yourself. Ain't that neat? Ain't that so neat? I mean, golly bum. He's sitting there on a well for a woman that doesn't deserve a God, and I didn't deserve God, and there he sits. Right in the intersection of your life when you needed him most. Some of you that are saved this morning should be already praising God, because guess what? You know exactly what I'm talking about. God's meeting somebody this morning at the intersection of their life, that intersection of their life where they're finding out they need Jesus. But some of you have met him already, and some of you should be like, man, I remember the day. Amen. I remember the day when God came along into a person's life that absolutely didn't deserve Jesus, and He gave me Jesus anyway. Amen. He gave me Jesus anyway. He offers the gift. This is the part of the message. This is the part of the sermon that everybody's like, man, this is good. I want that Jesus, man. Give me that eternal water. Jesus, give it to me, right? That's what she says. The woman in verse 11 says, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence thou hast this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? This is awesome. Jesus is setting a well, is setting on a well. An eternal well is setting on a temporal well. And can I just say this? He dug them both. Never mind. He dug them both. See, wells are deep waters of reservoir, come from water that you can't tell where they come from. It's deep. Guess what? God dug that. But He also dug eternal waters. Amen? God. The well sitting on the well. What do you have to... Listen, I love where the question is. She asked some of the most amazing... Lost people ask the right questions. What do you have to draw with? Oh, this thing called the Holy Spirit. It draws deep. It draws deep. What do you mean? It draws down into the people that everybody else has given up on, but I don't give up on. It's a ladle. It's a bucket. It's something that can reach into places nothing else can reach. God, some of you that have been reached by Jesus should shout right there and say, "Oh my God, He reached me when nothing else could." God has something that draws greater than anything a man can ever invent. Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again, the well water. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give them shall be in him a well, a water springing up into everlasting life." This is it. This is the moment, right? The woman saith unto her, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come here to draw." Man, thanks, Lord. You are changing my life. Thank you. Give me this water. I'm excited. This is good. I want the same Jesus that I felt in this room this morning. I want Him right now. Give Him to me. I don't want to come back. I don't want to thirst anymore. And I don't want to come back here to this well. Have you ever been there? I've been there in a million services. I've been there in a million times where I've been dealing with Jesus. I'm at a pinnacle and I'm at a high point. And maybe you are this morning. But then guess what? Then God has this way of breaking you to make you. Because you're so excited. Oh, give me, she just says it, give me the living water. I want it. Jesus 16 says, in verse 16, Jesus said, "Go call thy husband and come hither." No, well, I'm never coming back here again. I hate you, preacher. I hate your messages so bad. And I hate your church so bad. Because who are you to meddle in my life? See, God is not meddling in your life. He knows your life. He knows everything about you. And He knows what you've been looking for. The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and thou sayest truly." That's the whole reason I came to preach the message. See, she had five husbands. She had looked through every person. And I know some of y'all are sitting here today and you're thinking, "Man, somebody's been divorced five times." No, it's kind of different than that. It's you searching through this world trying to find the things that are going to complete you. See, some of you in this room, you think you're going to be completed by the clothes that you wear. You will not be. Some things you'll be completed. You'll think you'll be completed by the house that you live in. You will not be. You think you'll be completed by the job that you have and the money that you make. You will not be. You think by the friends you have and the acquaintances you have and the relationships you've built up. You will not be. And you can get married over and over and over and seek for a man to make you happy and make you complete, but you will never be complete in another human being. You can seek to every woman. You can sleep with every woman. You can go out with every woman. You can try to conquer every woman, but you will never be satisfied with a woman. Number six. See, number six is the one that she didn't marry, but she was living with. Number six is always in the Bible, is always a reference number for human beings, man. God made man on the sixth day. She had ran to the very end of her life and found out, men will never satisfy me. I told you already what wouldn't satisfy. Anything that's made by a man, designed by a man, or presented by a man will never satisfy you. Some of you right now are having a horrible time in your life, in your marriage. You know why? Because you haven't allowed the seventh man to move into your heart and your life and your mind. Because the seventh man, God, the seventh man is sitting on a well. The seventh man, the man of completion, the man of perfection is sitting on a well. He's sitting there going, "When you marry me, sis, you won't ever have to look for another man to feel happiness. You will never have to find another man to be fulfilled because I will fulfill everything in you, so everything from the outside will be what it is." My God. Some of y'all are doing this today. You want this church to fulfill you. It won't. You want the pastor to fulfill you. It won't. You want some book to fulfill you? It won't. You have to have Jesus Christ in you. And that's what will satisfy you. Then you will be satisfied with the things that are around you. And the things that belong can stay. And the things that don't belong, they can leave. And you'll be satisfied with that.
Amen.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Is this real? Is it freedom? Yes. That seventh man, he really does a work in your life. He completes you. He makes everything perfect on the inside. That way you can start loving people perfectly. You can start seeing your husband the way you're supposed to see him. You're starting to see your wife the way you're seeing them. You can see your kids the way you're supposed to see them. Golly, we do this a lot, don't we? We'll just add something else to our life, because if we add one more thing, that's what's going to make us happy. I added a wife, I'm miserable. I added some kids, we're miserable. I got a new job, I moved to a different house, I'm still miserable. You know why? Because you have to get the Jesus thing. That seventh man has to move in. When the seventh man moves in, it won't matter if you're sitting in a just an abandoned place with nothing. The world will say, they have nothing. And when you get real close, they'll say, we have nothing that you desire, but we have everything that we need. Man, I'm so content. I'm so happy in Jesus, because one day He came and He fixed the inside of me. Because guess what? There's nothing that's going to fix that inside of you that you try to fix with an outside thing. I mean, you'll take outside stuff and you keep trying to pile it on your... Why didn't that bring happiness? Because that's not the way it works. The inside thing's broken and it just needed Jesus to get in it. This woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Because some of y'all are going to do this morning. I hate to say it, but you're going to do it. Some of y'all, you're ready to be saved. You're ready to be changed. Your life's ready to be handed over. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to fold up the tent. You're going to say, "Well, I've always done it this way. I've always seen it this way. I don't see it your way, preacher. I don't see it God's way. I can still do it my way." See what she did? She had an argument. Said, we've always worshipped in the mountains, and you say you worship in Jerusalem. Man, that's the last offense, ain't it? Your last offense is how you see Jesus or how you see God. No matter how you're gonna, God's dealing with your heart, but you're gonna defend, you're gonna tell Him how you've always done it. It's how we've always worshipped. Jesus, listen to what He says. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither worship in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." You know what He said? Jesus is not in the mountain and He's not in Jerusalem. He's everywhere. I hate to tell you this. I hate to drop the bomb on some of you guys. Flat Top Independent Church is not the only church that's serving God right. We're not. There's millions of them. There's millions and millions and millions of people out in this world that are preaching and loving Jesus and serving God in a great capacity, in a great way. Amen? You know why? Because they believe in Jesus and they worship in spirit and truth. And that's what we're trying to do here, is worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen? We're trying to seek that Jesus that can change anybody at any time. Amen? Anybody at any time. There's no excuse. "Well, I've been on drugs." It don't matter. There's a lot of people who's used drugs to supplant God. "I've been married a bunch of times." Good. We love that kind of people. Come on. Get saved. "Well, I've got some stuff in my past that's so bad." Yeah, guess what? God forgets that, and so will we. "Well, you don't know my kind of sin. My sin's different. It's different than everybody else's. And it kind of spotlights me." We don't care. Come and receive Jesus. We'll love you right where you're at. And Jesus will too. Because we're worshiping Him in the spirit and truth. We don't have no barometer of who can and who can't get saved. Who can and who can't get right. It's for everybody. This whole trip into Samaria. Every time I read it for years, I thought it was about, "Oh, God's trying to save. He would save just one if He needs to." God, listen, I hate to tell you this. He would die for just one. He would go to Calvary for just one. But God is not into just saving one. He's into saving a multitude. He's saving one where He can save the whole town. You know what He's going to do this morning? He's going to try to save you where He can save your family and in your community. Because you know what? When you leave here, you can go places that not many of us can go. And you're going to talk to people that not many of us are going to talk to. And God needs agents everywhere He goes.
Amen.
This woman left the water pot that day at that well and went back down into the city and told all the men, you might want to write this one down. This is where we're going to close. I wanted to tell you this because it's really neat. The woman that had an issue, her biggest issue or her biggest failure was men. Well, she'd been married 5 times, and the guy she was living with now was not her husband. But soon as she got satisfied with who Jesus was, the seventh man, she went down into town and told all the men about Jesus. And they listened because they all came up and they all got saved in one of the greatest revivals before the resurrection of Christ took place. But what? Why would God send a person who struggled with men to go tell men that Jesus wanted to save them? Because that is what God does. He'll take your biggest failure, your biggest mess, and turn it into your biggest ministry. I struggle with drugs. You won't be surprised, but you're going to be telling drug addicts one day that Jesus can save them from their situation. Well, I failed in all my relationships. The next thing you know, you're giving relationship advice because you found the one that cures all relationships.
Amen.
I was a terrible kid. Well, good. You might be a great minister to youth. Ain't that cool how God does that? I've had the great opportunity to work in Celebrate Recovery and recovery missions, and I've seen some men and women stand up, and the thing the devil had them bound about, make it the first words that come out of their mouth. I was a prostitute. I was a heroin addict. I was a thief. I mean, the thing that the devil had them bound by, he set them free to be able to say that out of their mouth the first thing. And you know what other people in the congregation do? I was thinking of Carolyn this morning. She got up and said, I went to town and I didn't act like a Christian. You know what most Christians would do? You know what I'd probably do sometimes? God forgive me for that one. I'll do better next time I go. Man, but to go down and make yourself look weak, and even though you had a right, but to stand there and go, I had a right, but I didn't have a right to act that way. Man, you're talking about humble. You're talking about brokenness. You know what? I'll guarantee you there are some people in that store who are still thinking today, oh my gosh, why did she do that? There's a manager, there's a person working the store going, my gosh, I would never humiliate myself like that. I would rather be humiliated in front of men instead of being humiliated in front of God. I'd rather people think I'm weak. I would rather people think that I'm not very strong and I'm insignificant and be pleasing to God. Are you ready for the greatest ministry of your life? Are you ready for God to change everything in your life and to turn your mess into a ministry? You need to come off that pew this morning and come up here and say, God, I surrender all. I surrender all my mess. I surrender all the things that I was looking into to get me satisfaction. Because some of you this morning, some of you girls, some of you ladies are looking for a man to make you happy. It ain't going to work. Some of you boys and young men are looking for a woman to make you happy. It ain't going to work. Some of you are looking for things through drugs that's going to bring you some satisfaction. It is not. And some of you are just broken over your past, and you can't get over it. God's already over your past. You just have to ask Him to help you get over it. Because He's over it. Because He's got a plan for you. He sees you in the way that He sees you. Not the way you see you, and not the way the world sees you. As you stand, as they come play a song of invitation. I don't know why people are still sitting in their...